Welcome to Digest Discussions, where every episode brings the pages of knowledge to life. Dive deep with us into the heart of academic excellence, where the latest blog posts from Doctoral Digest aren't just read, they're explored, questioned, and expanded. In this podcast, we peel back the layers of complex topics, offering doctoral candidates and scholarly enthusiasts a seat at our roundtable of innovation, where we guide new doctoral students and dissertation warriors through the often confusing world of academics.
Good morning, listeners. Today, we're diving deep into something that every doctoral student eventually faces, the intimidating world of literature reviews. If you've ever felt like you're drowning in research papers, this episode is your life raft.
Absolutely. I remember my first literature review. What a nightmare. But it doesn't have to be that way. Our Doctoral Digest article today outlines some fantastic advanced techniques that can transform the way we approach literature reviews. Let's unpack this together, shall we?
I think we should start by addressing a common misconception. Many doctoral students view literature reviews as simply summarizing what others have written. But as our article points out, an advanced literature review is actually a critical storytelling tool for researchers.
That's such an important distinction. It's not just about collecting summaries. It's about weaving together various research strands into a coherent narrative. The article breaks down the components of a literature review into three main parts: introduction, body, and conclusion. But what makes these components work together effectively?
Well, each component serves a distinct purpose. The introduction sets the stage and outlines the scope of your review. Without it, readers might feel lost. The body is where the real analysis happens, where you synthesize existing research rather than just reporting it. And a strong conclusion ties everything together and points to future research directions.
I'd argue that the body is where many doctoral students struggle the most. How do you transform dozens or even hundreds of research papers into something coherent?
The article suggests breaking down literature into themes and concepts, essentially creating a backbone for your review. It's like organizing a messy room. You need to categorize things to make sense of them. The three steps outlined are identifying key themes, grouping related studies, and analyzing gaps.
That gap analysis is crucial, isn't it? I've reviewed dissertations where students did a beautiful job of summarizing existing research, but never clearly articulated where their own work fits in.
Exactly. And this relates to another section in the article about positioning your research in the academic landscape. It's not enough to identify a gap. You need to establish why filling that gap matters. As the article quotes, your research must not only fill a gap, but also connect with ongoing discussions in the field.
That reminds me of a conversation I had with a doctoral candidate last week. She had identified a fascinating gap in the literature, but when I asked her, "So what? Why does this matter?" she struggled to articulate the significance. The relevance of your research is what gets people interested in your work.
And getting published, journal editors are looking for research that's not just methodologically sound, but also relevant and impactful. The article discusses several strategies for establishing relevance, including identifying current trends, highlighting implications, and connecting to real-world applications.
Speaking of methodology, let's talk about the section on identifying gaps in existing research. The article suggests four approaches: utilizing comparative analysis, engaging with meta-analysis, recognizing underrepresented areas, and learning from examples of successful gap identification.
I find meta-analysis particularly powerful. By combining data from multiple studies, you can draw more comprehensive conclusions than any single study could provide. The article mentions tools like RevMan and comprehensive meta-analysis. Have you used either?
I've used RevMan for a health sciences project, and it was incredibly helpful for managing and analyzing data across multiple studies. But I think there's a broader point here about the role of technology in literature reviews. The article's final section on future trends highlights how technology is revolutionizing this process.
Absolutely. Gone are the days of manually sifting through stacks of papers. Now we have sophisticated software that can analyze vast amounts of data in a fraction of the time. Tools like EndNote and Zotero for organizing references, and databases like PubMed and Google Scholar with increasingly sophisticated AI features.
I've noticed a generational divide here. Some of my more seasoned colleagues are resistant to these digital tools, preferring their traditional methods. But the efficiency gains are undeniable. What used to take months can now be accomplished in weeks or even days.
There's also a shift toward collaborative literature reviews. The article points out that researchers are increasingly working together, bringing diverse perspectives to the table. Platforms like ResearchGate and Mendeley are facilitating this collaboration. Have you participated in any collaborative reviews?
I co-authored a systematic review with colleagues from three different universities last year. The diversity of perspectives was invaluable. We caught blind spots that might have been missed in a solo effort. But collaboration comes with its own challenges, particularly around maintaining a consistent voice throughout the review.
That's a great point. The article doesn't delve deeply into the practical challenges of collaboration. Perhaps that's material for a future Doctoral Digest piece. Another aspect I found interesting was the section on real-life scenarios, particularly the lessons learned from failed attempts.
Yes, that quote from the senior research fellow really resonated with me. I've learned more from my failures than my successes when conducting literature reviews. There's something powerful about hearing stories of setbacks and how researchers overcame them. It humanizes the process.
The example about the team that rushed their literature review and neglected to thoroughly vet their sources is something every doctoral student should read. It's a reminder that diligence pays off, and cutting corners can lead to a flawed foundation for your research.
This connects to another subtle but important point in the article: the transformational effects on future research. A well-conducted literature review doesn't just benefit your current project, it can shape future research directions and become a reference point for other scholars.
Absolutely. When I think about the most influential papers in my field, many are comprehensive reviews that highlighted previously ignored areas. They create a ripple effect that can lead to significant advancements. That's quite a legacy to leave behind.
On the topic of creating a legacy, the article's section on creating a compelling argument for your study emphasizes the importance of clearly articulating your research question, presenting your methodology transparently, and discussing the potential impact of your findings. It's about persuading your audience that your research is not just valid, but necessary.
And doing so in accessible language. I appreciate the article's advice to use simple language to explain complex ideas. We've all read those dense, jargon-filled literature reviews that seem designed to exclude rather than illuminate.
That's such an important point. Academic writing doesn't have to be impenetrable to be rigorous. In fact, clarity is a virtue in scholarship. Being able to explain complex ideas in straightforward language demonstrates a deep understanding of the material.
As we wrap up our discussion, I want to touch on one more aspect: the importance of showcasing your findings in context. The article suggests comparing your results with previous studies, discussing unexpected outcomes, and highlighting how your work contributes to future research.
This contextualizing is what elevates a literature review from good to great. It's not just about what you found. It's about what your findings mean in the broader conversation of your field. How do they confirm, contradict, or extend what's already known?
Exactly. And that brings us full circle to the idea of literature review as storytelling. You're not just reporting facts. You're creating a narrative that makes sense of the existing research landscape and positions your work within it.
Before we close, let's summarize the key takeaways for our listeners. An advanced literature review is a critical storytelling tool that requires more than just synthesis. It demands a structured approach, breaking down literature into themes, and creating a narrative that brings together disparate research findings.
And don't forget the importance of positioning your research effectively, establishing its relevance, using literature to support your hypothesis, creating a compelling argument, and showcasing your findings in context.
Lastly, embrace the technological tools and collaborative approaches that are shaping the future of literature reviews. Stay adaptable and open to innovation in your research methods.
This has been a rich discussion about a crucial aspect of doctoral work. I hope our listeners come away with new strategies for tackling their literature reviews with confidence.
I do too. And remember, as intimidating as literature reviews can be, they're also an opportunity to contribute meaningfully to your field. The time and effort you invest will pay dividends, not just for your current project, but potentially for future researchers as well.
Thanks for joining us for this Digest discussion. We're the Academic Renegade crew, reminding you that you are not alone in your doctoral journey. Join us for every episode as we break down the Doctoral Digest's most compelling content, bringing expert commentary, critical analysis, and a touch of scholarly camaraderie right to your ears. This isn't just another academic podcast. It's a community, an idea incubator, and your weekly dose of scholarly innovation all rolled into one.
Tune in to Digest discussions and transform the way you engage with academic literature. Let's start the conversation today.